Let's turn to the Gospel of John, and we read again from John chapter 1. You've been sat for a while, so why, if you're able, why don't we stand to read God's word? So John chapter 1 and reading verses 6 to 9. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity again to read from your word, to read from the Gospel of John. We thank you for another opportunity to hear your voice speaking to us and to be equipped as your disciples. Lord, would you come? Would you speak through your word? Would you speak through me? Would you build us up as we seek to glorify your name and be useful for the building of your kingdom on earth as in heaven, we pray. Amen. Amen. Do take a seat. Well, for the last 2 weeks, quite rightly, our attention has been solely fixed on the centerpiece of Christmas, the Word and Savior, Jesus. But just for a few moments, I want to encourage that we controversially consider those who are not the Messiah. In 2017, the National Geographic magazine published an article featuring five men who believed themselves to be Jesus. They were Moses Hlongwane from South Africa. Here he is. Moses said that God identified him as the Messiah during a dream in 1992. He was married to a woman formerly known as Angel and who now goes by the name Mother of the Whole World. Moses has about 40 disciples whom you see here attending a wedding, listening to his teaching. This is the second individual, not quite sure how you pronounce his name, Vizairon, also known as Christ of Siberia. He had a revelation when the Soviet Union collapsed that he was Jesus Christ reborn. He founded the Church of the Last Testament with at least 5,000 followers, all vegetarians, and with many living in several utopian eco-villages in the Siberian woods. The third is Jesus of Kitwe from Zambia. He spends his days driving a cab, apparently, spreading the gospel and preparing the world for God's kingdom. This Jesus said he received a revelation from God that he is, in fact, Jesus when he was 24 years old. Fourthly, this is Inri Cristo from Brazil. And Inri came to believe that he was Jesus Christ reborn sometime in 1979 whilst fasting. He was reported to live with 12 disciples, 3 men and 9 women, in a compound surrounded by barbed wire and an electric fence. I guess he wasn't hoping to have new disciples in that case. The town where he lived was named by himself, actually, and he called this town the New Jerusalem. And then fifthly, finally, this is Jesus Matayoshi from Japan. He is also known as the name Only God. He campaigned for a seat in the Japanese parliament in 2016, instructing opponents to either commit suicide or threatening hellfire upon them. His scripture was entitled, it's quite a long title, How the Second Coming of Jesus Christ, the One True God, Jesus Matayoshi, Will Change Japan and the Whole World. During the election that I mentioned, he managed to gain 6,114 votes, which is perhaps more than we would have hoped, to be honest. Now, these might all strike us as pretty strange. Do they strike you as strange? And you might reasonably question, why am I encouraging that we focus our attention on those who are not truly Jesus Christ? Well, it's because the Bible raises for us both the reality and the warning of following false teachers and prophets. In Jeremiah 23, verse 16, we read, "Do not listen to what the false prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord." In Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 16, Jesus said, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them." In Matthew 24, verses 23 to 24, when Jesus spoke about the end times, he said, "If anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Messiah,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." In 1 Corinthians 1, verses 11 to 13, New Testament writer Paul challenges Christians not to be divided in their following of others. He says, "One of you says, 'I follow Paul.' Another, 'I follow Apollos.' Another, 'I follow Cephas.' Still another, 'I follow Christ.' But is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul?" He writes and challenges the early church. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, Paul says, "The time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." That's a great line, isn't it? "Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths." And then in 2 Peter 2, verses 1 to 3, Simon Peter writes to the church, "There will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories." And all of these words, I think we can say, are true. And we would know them to be true for ourselves. And all these warnings actually relate to what we read in John chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. Because within this powerful narrative, readers are reminded emphatically that despite being sent from God, a worthy and highly honored witness, John the Baptist is not and was not the true light of all humankind. As we read in verse 8, "He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light." You see, there were some who confused John the Baptist to be Jesus Christ. According to one scholar, these followers existed in the 3rd century AD, perhaps even earlier. Writing from that time records these words, "Disciples of John the Baptist separated themselves from the people and proclaimed their own master as the Christ." Even in Acts chapter 19, we get a sense that some Christians in Ephesus were content with John's baptism and looked no further. But Paul urged in this passage that John testified to a belief and a baptism into the name of Jesus Christ and not John. So they were indeed baptized in the name of Jesus and in the Holy Spirit. John's gospel emphatically communicates, as one Bible commentator puts it, that John is not the man we want. He is not the man we want. He was just a messenger. As Malachi 3 verse 1 prophesied or foretold, John the Baptist is the one who was sent to prepare the way for Jesus, and whose singular ministry was to testify to Jesus, not proclaim himself to be the Messiah. He was great as the prophet of the highest, but not the highest himself. John the Baptist was the light, but he enlightened only Jerusalem and Judea and the region around about Jordan, like a candle that enlightens one room. But Christ is the true light, for he is a light to enlighten the Gentiles, the whole earth, the one through whom God reconciles all who believe and trust in him to himself. And so yet again, we are encouraged in this opening chapter of John's Gospel to fix our eyes upon Jesus, the true light of all the world, the true light of all humankind. And we learn from the example of John that we too are called to be witnesses to Christ. John was sent from God, as we read in verse 6. But we too are sent from God. And we understand this to be true, first of all, because God created us. Psalm 139 makes it clear. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. He created us. And as we considered last week, he not only created us, but he gives us life. He continues to sustain us. We only live because he allows us to carry on living. We are totally and utterly dependent upon him. And so actually, we are literally sent into the world by God because he creates us. He forms us in our mother's womb. And perhaps this is a good point to welcome Benny, Adriana, Eric, and baby Ezra, who's just been born from the mother's womb. So congratulations to you. Everybody was looking and smiling at you anyway and weren't listening to a word I was saying, so I thought I'd better just acknowledge it. Get it out of the way. So we are sent from God because he creates us. But we are created by God to worship and serve him, to be salt and light of the earth, to obey everything that he has commanded his disciples to do, to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We are God's handiwork or workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he has prepared in advance for us to do. We are sent from God. Each one of us is sent from God, like John. And yes, we have different skills and different gifts. Yes, our calling individually is different from one another and different from John's. But we are all called to the same wider and bigger calling to bring glory to God and to serve his kingdom. And one of the greatest privileges of being part of this church and serving as minister of this church has been to send so many disciples off to serve God in different places, both here in the UK and overseas. And we've done this being faithful to Acts and the example of church in Antioch, where Saul and Barnabas were sent off in the power of the Holy Spirit to go and serve God and his kingdom in the wider world. And we have had the privilege to step into this same calling, if you like, to send people off and out. And I know it's painful at times. It's been painful for us, hasn't it, to say goodbye to people, as I'm sure it was a great loss to Antioch to see Barnabas and Saul leave their midst too. But we have seen people serve overseas. We've seen people serve with BMS World Mission. We've seen people serve with African Pastors Fellowship, with YWAM, with Pastos Verdes, with Mercy Ships. We've also seen people be sent off to go and serve amongst young people, also with the Baptist Union as ministers. And it's a great privilege to be part of a church community where God is calling people into ministry and mission and sending them off. But the reality is, we are all sent by God to serve and glorify him. We are all sent from God, not to be the true light that gives light to all humankind, but to follow in John's example and witness to Jesus. For what purpose? Well, we read in verse 7 of John chapter 1, the purpose of our being sent is that all might believe in the Word, the life, and the Saviour, Jesus. Or as we read in Matthew 5, verse 16, that they may see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven. I really like what Matthew Henry writes in his commentary about John the Baptist. He says, John taught men to look through him and pass through him to Christ. He was a star like that which guided the wise men to Christ. And so as I conclude this message this morning, let me encourage you to consider how you are going to be a witness to the true light who is Jesus. How will you be like a star who guides others to Christ? How might you be unashamed of the gospel and give a reason for the hope that you have found in Jesus Christ? To whom has God sent you to witness? And where are they? Perhaps as I ask you these questions, God would just place in your mind and your heart certain places and people whom he has sent you to be a witness to him. And perhaps you need to be sure that you are following the true light. As I spoke earlier about false prophets and teachers, perhaps it's true for yourself that you have been caught in this place where you have surrounded yourself with people who are telling you what you want to hear. That you are under the teaching of people actually who are false teachers. They're not giving you the truth of God's word. And perhaps you need to be sure this morning that you are following the true light. Not a false teacher, prophet, or Messiah, but the true light of all humankind, who is Jesus. Who continues to speak through his word, who continues to speak through his church, who continues to speak through his people. Are you hearing his voice? Or rather, have you surrounded yourself with people who are telling you what you want to hear? Then perhaps this morning we might need to repent before God, seek his forgiveness, and ask that he would help us to listen again to his voice and to be guided not by false teachers, but be guided by his truth today and always. And perhaps you might even consider being baptized. We are a Baptist church. There's a clue in the name. We like to baptize people. And if you have not been baptized in the name of Jesus, if you have not had the opportunity to go through the waters of baptism and be prayed that the Spirit would fill you and come upon you in power, then perhaps your moment has come. Perhaps the Lord is prompting you this morning, or has been prompting you for a long time, to go and be baptized, to proclaim your faith in the true light of all, and to be baptized in the name of Jesus. If that's you, come and speak to me or Tom today, and we'd be delighted to be able to help you or speak to you about that. As we consider all these things, let's just be still. And then I'll lead us in some prayer. Lord, we thank you for the reading of your word today. And we thank you for the message that you want to bring through your word. We thank you for John the Baptist. We thank you that he stepped into the calling that you placed on his life, and he was a witness to the true light, who is Jesus. We thank you, Lord, from his example and from this word that we are reminded about the reality and the dangers of following false teachers and prophets. And Lord, we want to confess before you that we sometimes seek and hear the advice and the testimony of those who are far from you. Help us, Lord, to align ourselves with your word and the truth of your word. To follow the true light of all, the true Messiah. And to follow his teaching as a priority in our lives. Lord, create room for us to read your word. Create room for us to surround ourselves with other believers who can build us up and encourage us with the true word of Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we look to the example of John, we thank you for his witness to Jesus. We recognize our own sending in the world. Our sending to worship and glorify you, but our sending also, like John, to testify to the true light of all. In this place today, we ask, Lord, that you would remind us again where it is you send us, who it is you are calling us to witness to. May we be unashamed of the gospel. May we be salt and light. May we be bold enough to give a reason for the hope that we have found in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray in particular where there is fear, you would strengthen us. And in those places where perhaps it's too difficult to use words, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would minister through us, through our deeds, through our actions, to be a blessing and to make a difference for your glory and for your kingdom's sake. Lord, I particularly have in my mind those workplaces and perhaps even those family situations where it is so difficult to witness to Jesus. Lord, we ask that you would open doors, that you would make opportunity for us to serve you and to point to Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our King. And Lord, for those who have felt this morning a prompt to be baptized, we pray that you would give them confidence, Lord, to make that step of faith, to declare their faith in Jesus Christ before the company of heaven and before your people. Lord, may each one of us be faithful in serving you, both today and forevermore. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.